Welcome to another eye-opening episode of
Revealing the Truth About Islam,
the show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam.
Exposing the life of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran.
It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello again, and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is May the 4th of the year of our Lord 24, and this is Usama Dakdak with you from the state of Wisconsin. With me tonight, as usual, our dear Sister Christy, she is actually in Missouri, and Brother Paul in New York. Hello, Christy and Paul, and how are you guys doing?
Well, I'm doing fine, Usama. It's been an interesting week watching, as I know you can't always do that, the news and seeing, I mean, seriously, what Islam is really all about. We're seeing on our college campuses.
Amen. Amen. What about you, Paul?
I'll say that this watching the insanity on college campuses is something I never expected in my lifetime, but after learning what I did almost 10 years ago, yeah.
And it makes more sense
on my personal seeing what happened on a college campus where I went to school, yes, they brought in the Muslim Brotherhood, and that blew my mind.
And you know what, Paul? I've been saying, Christy have heard me. I only know you for a few years, but Christy knows me for more than 20 years, I guess. I don't know when we met. We met just after September 11, I believe. So I've been saying this is coming, and I don't think there was so many years. There's not too many years to hear what I was teaching, that you cannot have few cells of cancer in your body and do not expect to kill you. I remember, actually, I used this, Christy, years ago. I said, imagine me, if you are a lady and you just check in your breast to make sure that everything is, and you see one lump, or maybe two lumps, and you say, it's just one or two lumps, no big deal. And you waited for a good 6 months, and there's only 50 lumps, and no big deal. And then you go to the doctor and he tell you, I'm sorry, it is stage 4 cancer. This is only just a lump on your breast. It's actually all over your body. We're talking about cancer, people. Yeah. I'm not talking about a scratch. You can hide it with some makeup. Because what we've been doing in this country for the last 21 years since September 11 until today, I mean, before September 11, I can give all the excuses to the American people not to learn up the truth about Islam and not to stand up for this country. But after September 11, we got George W. Bush lying to the entire country and to the entire world to tell them Islam is love, Islam is peace, and what we have seen here have nothing to do with Islam. Who was standing behind him, Christy Johnson, when he gave that speech in Al-Muhajirun?
CARE, Muslim Brotherhood, all of them lying.
And all of the head of CARE and the rest of the men and the women who were there in that mosque are all Muslim Brotherhood. Imagine,
yes,
me, Paul, the President of the United States of America standing in unity with the Muslim Brotherhood who attacked us on September 11th to tell them and to tell the world and to tell the America that Islam is love, Islam is peace.
That was at Dar al-Hijra.
Dar al-Hijra Mosque, exactly. The house of immigrants. And actually, I remember that I said, what a name, perfect name for what I'm about to share with you. And guess what? I quote in the Quran, those who believe, immigrated, and performed jihad for the sake of Allah with their money and with their life. I see these are exactly the same Muslims. They are Muslims, they come to America, they immigrate to America, and the third thing you're going to see in the near future, that they will stand up in unity and to perform jihad in America and around the world. And people looked at me like I lost my mind. And people look at me like, you saw that these are just few extremists. These are just few radicals. No, you're just few stupid. That's who you are. If you believe that there's nothing wrong with Islam, and you believe Bush, and you believe the Muslim Brotherhood of America, that Islam is not what Islam really is, and A, you're ignorant of Islam, or B, you're just simply stupid, no more or less. So, what do you say, Christy?
Well, Well, you know, it was very disturbing because I did not know a lot about Islam at the time. And this speech that Trump never made that speech, that George Bush made was most disturbing because he was quoting a verse from the Quran, but he was quoting it incorrectly. And he had no clue that what he was doing was promoting a total false picture of Islam. And he either was complicit in doing that, or he was also very stupid.
Well, I said that then, and I'll repeat again today. People said, oh, Usama, it's September 11, and Mr. George W. Bush do not know so much about Islam. We're just out of the chaos. Just give him time. 7 years later, Paul, when Mr. George W. Bush left the White House, he's still praising Islam, yeah. He's still quoting from the Quran versus taking out the context, as Sister Christie said, and it made me sick in my stomach. That's why we ended with Barack Hussein Obama.
Yeah.
It was George W. Bush who promoted Islam, who promoted the Muslim, and people could not see anything wrong to vote for a Muslim man. And guess what? That 8 years of Barack Hussein Obama made this country even worse. Under Bush, I have to say this back to you. Under Bush, the Muslims of America voted for him the second term. And I believe that was the last Republican ever to gain votes by the Muslims. Why? Why Muslims will vote for Mr. George W. Bush, even though he was in war in two countries, in Iraq and Afghanistan, two Muslim countries. And I could not figure it out at the time. But later, as I started looking to some statistics and some numbers, I found that actually he is the one who gives the Muslims the green light to put all the lies in our textbooks to teach us about Islam. He is the one who gives the Muslim green light to build more mosques all over America. He is the one who gives the Muslims more right to run for offices. He is the one who brought more Muslims to America than ever. After that, we ended with Barack Hussein Obama, who quadrupled what Mr. George W. Bush did, and nobody could stand and say a word against him at all. If you speak anything against Barack Hussein Obama, since he's a black, that means you're a racist. And we don't want to have racism in this country. We're glad we fixed the problem between white and black. When in reality, it was Barack Hussein Obama who united this country in the first election, and he divided this country in the second election. And I believe he won the second election by stealing the election.
Yeah.
What happened was Mr. O'Biden, it's exactly what happened in the second term of Barack Hussein Obama. But nobody can say a word because who will stand against the first black American president? Wow. Then you'll be really, really bigots, and you'll be really, really, racist, and all of these wonderful names we can put on you. So here we go, Paul. Years later, we've got plenty of Muslim students in this country who are now actually professors at the universities, and they brainwash plenty of our students with all the lies about Islam since 2003, 2004, until today.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've got Muslim students, Americans, converted to Islam in the hundreds in our university. I mean, think about it. These are educated people about education, but when it comes to be educated about Islam, they're the dumbest of the dumb. I would never believe in my life there would be gay and lesbian converted to Islam as gay and as lesbian, or whatever all other people who are running to the house of Islam. And these things, they're doing the world a favor. They're helping the poor Palestinians. In reality, they're destroying their own home. They're destroying their own country. What would you say about that, Father Paul?
I'm continually shocked at the amount of infiltration of schools. I call myself an awakened patriot. When I started seeing this, I feel like I was way behind the eight ball, and I should have been jumping in years and decades ago. And I'm still here learning, still studying, because this stuff is so freaky, scary, and dangerous that everybody needs to be jumping on this bandwagon, paying attention, and then telling their neighbors, oh my gosh, pay attention, listen, because the stuff that we're sharing, it's in your neighborhood, whether you believe it or not.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Paul, I know you have so many stories you'd like to share here in America and around the world, so we don't want to waste too much time. You can go ahead and begin by, here it is, America, gold opportunities to learn about what Muslims are doing in America and around the world. Trust me, what we're about to share here, you're not going to hear or watch on CNN or Fox News. You're not. It is here or other small groups like us who are trying to do everything they can to wake up the American people and the rest of the West. So, Bob, what do we have happening from Muslims here in America and around the world?
So, what we have happening, I'm going to play the video that I didn't play for our radio show, but Memory discovered on Friday, this is April 19th, this year. An unidentified man giving a sermon at Masjid al-Imam of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, which was streamed live on their Facebook page. The imam claimed that the action of the breed of humans, who are the Jews, can be explained by studying the Talmud. Quoting from an Arabic source purported to be a translation of the Talmud, he said the Jews believe the non-Jews are animals in human form that were created by God to serve them. He said that, according to Talmudic credits, an honor for the Jews to shoot Gazan babies while they're still in their incubators, and it's permissible for them to steal land from non-Jews. And, you know, my comment is that all of this is easily provable false, and because, you know, incubators aren't created until centuries after that.
After the Talmud was ever written, yeah.
It gets worse, but let me, I want to share this video of this. If memory captured it, we can watch it. It's mostly in English. And let me just get this ready and come back here. And I'm just going to share my screen. This is a my number. Sometimes you have to hear what people say. Sometimes you have to see it to believe it. Well, I get that. This should shock you. It's not something we want to see or hear. It's not something pleasurable, but it needs to be seen and heard.
Amen.
All right.
We will mention what the Jews believe, because you wonder how come why there are such breed of human beings. It's simply because it's indoctrinated that way. That's good either. I will give you the proof from two passages from the Talmud, which is one of the books that the Zionists refer to. خَلَقَ اللَّهُ الْأَجْنَبِي أَيْ غَيْرَ الْيَهُودِي. Listen to this. على هيئة الإنسان ليكون لائقا لخدمة اليهود. This message goes to those who bow from amongst this ummah to the Zionists, to the Jews. This is how they look at you. This is how they see you, as an animal. As an animal that is in the form of a human being, just to serve them. We're talking about babies in the incubators in the hospital, shooting everybody. That's why. Because in their aqidah, we're all animals and we're worthless. And it's an honor for them. And they will be raised in ranks if they do that. Now, if you wonder why they go, they fly from Brooklyn, from under the tunnels. There's an airline that goes from underground. I'm joking. They go from under the tunnel straight to Palestine. To do what? To steal the land. Why? Because for them, it is permissible to steal from someone who's not a Jew. Throughout the history, you'll find that the Jews are the ones who orchestrate everything against Muslims. But who execute? Christians. Who are those whom Allah is upset? Or he's angry against the Jews, followed by who? The misguided ones. And those are who? The Christians. Because they always follow them. Your ways, follow them. And don't go too far. Right here, in the country where we live. Look what the Zionist Christians are doing. Look how much, how many bills they have no problem passing against their own people. Because they follow the Jews. Despite the Christians believe that the Jews are the ones who killed Jesus, peace be upon him.
I love his last line. Yeah, love his last line.
I want to say that I put this video up on LinkedIn, and mm-hmm. I got yelled at for hate speech.
Sure.
Their stuff is still on Facebook.
Yeah. Well, it's a true ball, and we talked about it before many times. If you see a video of beheading and you start reporting and share from it, here's what Muslims do, here's what Muslims believe, then you teach hate. But the videos of beheading can be okay. You can be sick and see the videos online. But you're reporting the hate speech. Now, you are a hate speaker. But the hate speech can stay online, no problem whatsoever. Now, but I love his last line when he said, despise that the Jews killed Jesus. Sorry, are you a Muslim? And he asked, are you a Muslim? Are you sure you're a Muslim? You believe the Jews killed Jesus?
Ooh,
man,
him.
He already lost Islam, my friend. You see, he's playing the game. Divide and conquer. You Christian, the Jews killed your Jesus, and you still work, you still like the Jews? I love it, because years ago when I was in Egypt, I was like 15, 16 years old, I can't remember, maybe 14, maybe 17, I have no idea, in my youth. My neighbor came to me and said, you know what? What we don't like about you Christian is you love the Jewish people. That was his clear message to me in similar words. We don't like you Christian because you love the Jewish people, the Israelites. And I said, and we love you too, the Muslims. He said, well, I know that. I said, wait a minute. How many Jewish ever come to Egypt and burn a church? How many Jewish come to Egypt and kill a Christian man and rape his wife and daughter? And he was quiet. I said, but you do that. You're doing that to us. And we still love. You see, we Christian known by loving one another. We're Christian known by loving those who love us. We're Christian known by loving those who hate us. Because Jesus said, love your enemy. So that imam, that useful idiot imam here, was trying to divide the Christian from the Jews by telling them, oh, despise that the Jews killed Jesus. You're their friend. You follow them. No, we don't follow the Jews, but we're praying for the Jews to follow our Jesus through us. As we're praying for the Muslims that they will follow Jesus through us. Because the one we follow is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. Now, in his sermon here, there's so much light, I can't help it. Go to Quran chapter 98 or 96, Paul. I'm going to give you the verse in a minute, dear. I'll give you the verse in a minute. Or look for the word, the worst of the creatures. Do me a favor, the search for the word, the worst of the creatures. I believe it's 98, 96, something like that. I can't remember exactly.
The worst of the creatures.
Yes, and this, it's a couple of times there. But I want to tell the Muslims here, that it's not the Talmud, which is not a book we Christian believe in, okay? It is actually, that is the right verse here. You're right. Surely, yeah, that's a good one. Go ahead. So now we learn, ladies and gentlemen, my friends and my everybody's watching me, now we learn who is the one who teach that people are worse than the worst of the creatures. That's us. It is not that Talmud said the Gentiles or the non-Jews are animals in human form. It is Allah in the Quran who said the Jews and the Christians who do not believe in Islam are the animals. Go ahead, Brother Paul. Read the first verse.
Surely those who became infidels from the people of the book and polytheists will abide in the fire of hell forever. Those are the worst of the creatures.
So who's teaching now that the Jews and the Christians are the worst of the, we are worse than a pig. We are worse than a dog. And for sure, we'll spend eternity in hell. Who said that? Allah Almighty. Where? Quran chapter 98, verse 6, I believe, was where the point.
Yes, that's where we are.
All right. So, the imam knows what his Quran teaches. But the imam is lying at his mosque and claiming that the Talmud teaches. Well, I don't believe in the Talmud. The Talmud is not the Jewish book. As a matter of fact, when we go to the Quran, when we go to the Bible, read about Muslims, read about the Jewish people in the Old Testament, maybe I'm trying to get myself right here, we find out that God commands the Jewish people to treat the strangers good, as he reminded them that you used to be stranger in the land of Egypt. So the reality is, I don't see that Jewish people are living the life of the Muslims, practicing the practice of Islam, teaching the teaching of the Quran or the teaching of Muhammad, but the opposite. The problem is with the Jewish people today is they are defending themselves. How dare you are as a Jew or Israeli to defend yourself? You have no right to defend yourself. I will come, kill your men, rape your women, kill your children, and you just smile on your face like nothing wrong. Then we'll just continue to do it. But for you to defend yourself, we have a problem. Yes, indeed, we have a problem. Go ahead, Paul or Chris, if you want to share anything else about this idiot here.
I think he's dangerous. That's the one thing I'll say. I think this guy is very, very dangerous.
That is a man teach hate, and the proof is they took you off, Paul, because you talk about him. Now, why did they not remove him from the border of Florida? I mean, privacy. Are you realizing now what we're doing here the last few weeks? I mean, we're literally jumping all over the United States of America. We're talking about Muslim imam sermons in the mosques all over America. It is the same message. Remind me of what I used to share with you guys long time ago, that the Muslim of Saudi Arabia is the same Muslims of Egypt, it is the same Muslims of England, it's the same Muslim of London, of America, anywhere in America, it's the same Muslim of Canada, they're the same Muslims. Why? Because they believe in the same Allah, they believe in the same Muhammad, they believe in the same Quran, they believe in the same Hadith, they're Muslims. It doesn't matter where you're going to put them. They are Muslims. So if you think that Muslims in America are different, it's because you're stupid or you have not learned the truth yet about Islam. Muslims are Muslims are Muslims. It doesn't matter where they live.
So
as we know, they start peaceably, and then they start growing up, and then they start speaking out, and then they start burning out, and they start killing out, and that's Islam. That is Islam. It happened in Egypt. It's happening in Europe. It's coming to a city near you. In America.
That's very disturbing, Usama, that we're seeing this, as you said, in different mosques around the country. You remember that at one time, our CIA, Secret Services, were monitoring what was happening in mosques. Do you remember that years ago?
Yeah.
And then there was a big uproar that you couldn't do that. You could not listen in to what they're saying. At that time, we had all that communication cut off, and we didn't really know what they were saying. But now they're openly saying these things, and they're broadcasting.
A few months ago, you were speaking in Arabic as like, we don't know how to read what they're saying, we don't know how to translate it. So now it's like, wait a minute, we spoke softly and we saw a little bit stressed and we test the water and the police in America did not arrest us and the CIA and the FBI don't care, so why don't we just go and teach the whole truth? What we believe, they are speaking, there can be change. By the way, you find plenty of stupid, useful, idiot, liberal Democrats who will support them because, hey, we got freedom of speech in America, freedom of religion. What an idiot Democrat when they argue with me, when they tell me, this is the right, the freedom of religion and freedom of speech. There is no freedom of Islam in America. Mm-hmm. You free the Muslims to say and to teach and to live Islam in America, you are killing your own children. And the blood of your children, Christian, will be not only on your head, but on your face, you useful idiots. That's what it is. The only reason why Muslims are doing that, because they got the green light from all the liberals of this country, and sadly, some of the rhino, who are worse to me, in my opinion, than the Democrats.
You're absolutely right.
All right. Paul, the next story, brother, go ahead.
This week's colleges and universities across America have begun to fight back against the Hamas lovers on their college campuses. A few campuses had the people calling themselves protesters for supporting Hamas. Now, remember, these are the guys that hide behind the little children when they're afraid of getting shot. These groups that were on the campuses got arrested, some entire groups. One group decided to put the – we're seeing – actually, it's more than one group. Many of the groups decided to take down the American flag and put up their flags. Well, one frat had enough of the desecration of the American flag by these terrorist supporters and fought to keep it flying. These are the brothers of the Pi Kappa Phi fraternity at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. They stepped in to ensure the American flag didn't even touch the ground.
Good for him. When you say that, Paul, you put goosebumps all over my body. I think it's time for the rest of the city. You see, we've got segment of 2%, 4%, 5% of our students who are doing the garbage work, and they're used as useful aid advice. Actually, some of the, many of these protesters in our college, they're not even students.
That's right.
Illegal and Muslim in America go to college, use the smart educated students, which I call stupid, useful idiots, to do that. Where is the 85, 90, 95% in some of these colleges? I think it's time for the American students, the conservatives, those who love the flag, those who love this country, to stand up and say, you're not taking that flag down, and you have 50, we got 1,500 here. We're going to shut you down, we're going to throw you out of our university. Not the police, the student. And let us have a unity among all America. And I don't care, really. In that case, I don't care. I would love to have unity. If you are an American and you have USA blood running your veins, you need to stand up in unity. If you're a Republican, if you're a Democrat, if you're independent, if whatever you are, if you see what these small, tiny fractions are doing to your flag, are doing to your country, it's time to have unity. If you believe in Jesus or you don't believe in Jesus, if you're an atheist or agnostic, it's time to have unity to stop this garbage from taking over our university. If I am a student, God's my witness, it will be on my dead body. Somebody take the flag of the United States of America and replace it with a garbage Hamas flag. Shame on Bush and shame on all the Democrats who allow the Muslims even to come to this country, because that's what they did. Now it's time for us to get rid of them, throw them out of university, because that is not right. That is not, does not fit with who we are as a nation and who we are as people. It doesn't matter, as I said, where you come from, background, belief, doctrine, race, color, I don't care. So maybe, hope and I pray next semester we'll have some unity among all the students, and they will not let this happen again. Yes. If the school administrative team and if the police could know how to stop it, I think students can stop it.
Yusama, I just want to bring up the fact that that has happened at a couple of schools. One of them, right there in Mississippi at Ole Miss, they stopped these terrorists. There's been a couple of other schools who the students stood up against this. And, you know, one of these students sharing his experience said, you know what, people died for this flag, and if they're going to kill me, I'm willing to die for it, but I'm not going to let them just take down and destroy my flag. I'm so thankful for that.
Yeah, you know what, Christy, you know what I believe these students, they remind me of Black Lives Matter. They're nothing. Their mama still fixes their cereal in the morning. Their mama and their papa still gives them the money to buy a sandwich. Their mama and their papa pays their tuition for the school.
Oh,
they're not men. They're not ladies. They're a bunch of garbage. Most likely are fellow students. I guarantee you will not show me one of them a straight A student. I guarantee you. They're lost in their mind, heart, and soul. They're a bunch of stupid kids. Go ahead, Christy.
Well, I just want to give credit to the schools and the students who have stood up against it, because one of the things that we're seeing is the faculty, the teachers, and the professors that have been brought into these schools, they are liberals, they support this stuff, and their students themselves are demanding more Palestinian teachers. They want more Arab professors. They're demanding that, these protesters. But thank the Lord, there's people that are still willing to stand up, even though they're standing up some cases against their own professors.
Well, I think it's time to get rid of all professors who will not support, salute our flag, support our tradition, support our belief, and speak the truth about Israel. I believe we should have this as a measurement or a mark. If you are not supporting Israel, you could not teach in our school. Or take all the fund out of the school. Let Saudi Arabia pay for the school. That's it. Let Iran pay for the school. Or just take all the students and send them to Iran as the Iranians are giving them. Go ahead, Paul.
So this next story, sadly, at UCLA on Wednesday, five pro-Hamas savages wearing keffiyehs on their heads ganged up on a Jewish student, beating her in the head while stomping on her Israeli flag, after which she lost consciousness and her body went limp. She was taken to the hospital and didn't initially recognize her parents when she woke up. I can't tell you how much that would have upset me. The latest update states she's okay. Now, will they arrest these anti-Semite UCLA students for a hate crime?
I don't think so, because in America, we have freedom of speech, okay? And they actually spoke with their hand and their feet, as liberals do not see any difference between
symbolic language.
Symbolic
language, you saw me. That's what they're called.
That's exactly what it is. So, and you know what? We have cases. We have cases in our ministry where somebody come to our church meeting and our hotel meeting where we have Christians with guns. And he's on YouTube showing live that he has a gun on him. And we have to wait 3 months for that person to get arrested. When he was a threat to every person in the meeting, we're talking about a few hundred people at that meeting,
yeah.
I believe 12, 1500 people. And because of that idiot, that ministry is completely shut down. We no longer travel to speak with us. And the Muslim one, even if you hang that idiot by a rope from his neck in some place where you kill American, where the American people used to hang people by a rope, he still did his good number. Planet House Worldview Weekend Ministry is gone from traveling all over this country, as we used to speak all over this country, because of one guy who did what he did, and the government waited 3-4 months to arrest him.
Yeah.
What a stupid liberal. If he is in the other side, if the story is backwards, if we turn the table around, I promise he will be gone long time ago.
This is really tragic, and that's why, you know, I think Christians need to stiffen their resolve and be prepared to stand up in the face of serious threats. You know, Usama, I know you've already been doing that, and I don't think people understand that. I don't think they know what you have faced in the past, but you know what? If you're going to be a Christian and you're going to speak the truth, and you're going to support Jesus Christ, what does it say? The world will hate you. And we're seeing this. We're seeing this fulfillment of that word.
Exactly. Well, Paul, let's move on. Next story. We still have one more in the United States, I believe.
I want to do an update to this. So the truth is there are many students across this country that have recently been suspended or expelled because they are Hamas lovers. And Christy, what was that big update from Iran?
Yes, the Iranian government official is offering scholarships to all those students who may have been expelled and are not going to be able to get their degrees. They're going to give them scholarships, come to Iran, and go to university there.
I would love to see some of the gay and lesbian go to Iran because they need to have better education after all. They are Muslims. You see, if two boyfriends can go together to Iran and live there for a day, I would go to Iran. I don't want them to live for the whole semester. Forget about the 5-month semester or even 5 weeks or even 5 days. Just one day, I would like to see some of them gay and lesbian. They just dress like gay and lesbian and go to Iran so they can have this scholarship to study in about whatever you want to study in Iran, and we'll see if we can even have their body bag back. because I know their body is going to be in the bag if there is something left of their body.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
And then the whole world will see that Iran really meant it for all the gay and lesbians who support Hamas in America to go to Iran. Please go to Iran.
Just, Usama, even just the women, I mean, please, do you not understand? They have no clue what they're dealing with. And, you know, we had two students from Mississippi who left the United States and ran off to join ISIS. Do you remember that story from years ago?
I remember. Yes,
guess
ma'am,
what?
I remember.
They came back facing
charges.
And they're
begging our government, please give me my citizenship.
Yes,
because I believe
please
they,
let me come back.
But seriously, if some of these students, especially women, as you said, and gay and lesbian, the women maybe they put the scarf, the Palestinian scarf over their head and they be in hijab, and don't you dare show any hair. Just keep a little bit of hair sticking out from your scarf, most likely you're going to be beaten in the street by the
That's
secret
right.
police. Because the secret police in Iran do not like to see a little bit of hair sticking out here. If you have hair sticking out of your nose, they maybe kill you for it. So make sure that if you have hair in your nose, cover your nose too, okay? Mashallah, mashallah. It's just so stupid. And what's really amazing is this. Iran is 100% Muslim Sunni. Okay? Hezbollah, Hamas is 100% Muslim Sunni. They are willing to support anyone who supports Hamas, even if they are gay and lesbian. Mashallah, mashallah. Wait a minute. What will happen if we just get rid of all the Jewish people? Do you think Iran will leave Hamas in peace in Israel?
Yeah.
Just use imagination. Use imagination that now the Hamas killed the last Jew, and all what we have in Israel is just good Muslim Sunni, Hamas, and American students who support them. You don't even have to go to Iran. Just go to Israel, help the Hamas to get rid of the Jewish people who have killed the last Jew. And guess what's going to happen next? Iran will kill all of the Hamas and all the American support of Hamas. Gay and lesbian or straight. We'll make a bet on that.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right.
It is very simple, guys. The enemies of my enemy is my friends. Okay? We hate, Shia would say, we hate Sunni. They're infidels. They're going to burn their hair forever. And we must kill the last one of them. But wait a minute. We got some Jewish people who also we hate. So we have people we hate and other people we hate. Why not use the people we hate to help us to kill themselves as they are killing the people we really hate? So the Shiite Muslims will help the Sunni Muslims to kill themselves as they're killing the Jews. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. This is the best way to go. This is the best way to go. And by the way, there are plenty of useful idiot Americans in the middle. And, we just go ahead and kill them as well.
I mean, it's just the truth. It's sad and it's scary that people don't understand this.
Exactly, exactly. Next story, Paul. Next story.
According to CBS News, senior officials in several U.S. agencies under the old Biden administration have discussed the idea of resettling Palestinians from Gaza who have immediate family members here who are American citizens. The administration did not confirm nor deny that the proposal was in the works, but said in a statement to The Hill that the White House has helped more than 1,800 American citizens and their families leave Gaza since the war began.
Yeah.
According to CBS, they reported that top officials have discussed the possibility of helping additional Palestinians with U.S.-based families leave Gaza if they can work in coordination with Egypt. Do you think they're going to be able to do that?
Egypt, I think Al-Sisi was very clear. He said, itch not. And he's not talking about heaven. He's talking about the other place. Itch not. And Jordan also said, itch not. And Saudi Arabia said, itch not. Every Muslim country in the world said, itch not. But they're willing to send all the aid, which is the Palestinians need to kill the Jews.
Well, you know, let me ask you this question, because I think they're planning on putting these like embassies to facilitate the transport of Palestinians out of Gaza directly to the United States. And it's going to be a good excuse because these other countries will not take them. oh, where are the poor people going to go? Look at all the people in America and the students who love the Palestinians. We're going to have them here in our country. That's what they're doing, don't you think?
Boy, oh boy, Christy, I cannot wait for November, because trust me, in November I'm going to tell you, it is goodbye to America or there's a little bit hope left for this country.
Yeah.
Because imagine with me, Paul, imagine with me, Christy, if Biden will be in the White House for not four more years, for 4 months after the election, just 4 months. You don't need 4 years. You don't need a whole year, just 4 months, and somebody else will take over after him. That 4 months will be the death certificate. He will sign the death of America by his own hand within the end of the 4 months. It will be a chaos in America, and nobody will stop it, because we do not have enough people in the Senate or in the Congress, two houses, to do anything to stop the Democrats from passing all the laws they need to bring not only Hamas to America, they'll bring Iran to America.
Yeah, and
they'll bring everybody to America.
Somebody was asking how many of the people out of the, I'm sorry, I'm losing it, Afghanistan. How many people are here? They're going.
You stop it, Chris. You stop it now. You make me so upset. Listen to them. We got 120,000. How many of those 120,000 became as refugees?
About Afghanistanis, yeah, about 120,000 Afghanistanis.
But and we love these people because you really care so much about their granddaughters. I mean, they really love their granddaughters so much. You see, all of them, they do the best to bring their granddaughters, and we just find places for them to live, housing, and we give them food, and we give them medicine. But we were surprised, like, these are not actually their granddaughters. These were their wives, which according to the Constitution of America, it is illegal. Imagine if me or Paul would have a wife, 8, 9 years old, 10 years old. I don't know how the government of New York or how the government of Missouri would look at me or look at Paul or any man in this country who have a wife, 8, 9, 10 years old. I promise you, we will be arrested. And we will go in prison. But in the case of the Muslim Afghani, we continue to give them food, we continue to give them medicine. Hopefully that granddaughter, I mean the wife of these Muslim men, will have pregnancy and have babies, and we're going to have more babies who will be married to more Muslim men. Because mashallah, mashallah, you cannot tell me Muhammad is a child molester. You cannot tell me that Muhammad is a pedophile. You cannot tell me Muhammad is a sex offender. You cannot tell me anything wrong about Muhammad. Therefore, you have to accept that the Muslims who follow the Sunnah of Muhammad, they do the same thing Muhammad did 1,450 years ago. Aisha and Muhammad is a noble example for every Muslim in America and around the world to live. So, hey, Muslim men, 50, 60, find yourself an 8, 9 years old child and marry her in America. Trust me. If you are a Baptist minister or a Catholic priest, or if you are a Jewish rabbi, you'll be arrested and put in prison. But if you're a normal Muslim, you don't have to be a Muslim imam, that's a normal Muslim, you can get away with it, and you'll have a place for you to live, a free housing allowance, you're going to have free food, free medicine, free education, free everything. Just take this country with your immoral sexual teaching of your Muhammad. And trust me, the Democrat will not say a word, and the stupid Republican will not say a word, because nobody want to be called America Islamophobe. Please, Paul, shut up, Paul. Don't say anything about it. Quickly move to the next story. Go ahead, man.
Okay. All right. On Friday, April 26, anti-Israeli protesters praised the October 7th massacre and several terrorist organizations at a Vancouver rally, according to a video published by the Free Palestine Tri-Cities, British Columbia, demanding that the groups be removed from Canada's list of terrorist entities.
Okay.
Charlotte Cates, the international coordinator of the allegedly popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, the PFLP, also known as the Samidun Palestinian Prisoner Solidarity Network, which is a group declared a terrorist entity by some countries, led demonstrators in a chant proclaiming long live October 7th.
long live October 7th. Exactly, that's what Muslims believe. And believe me, I will not be surprised if the Canadian bow down the knee accommodating that Muslim jihadi group and takes them off the list of jihadi group, because it is coming to America. They will not come to America unless it's passing Canada. So we have to do something about Canada to help the Muslims to be set free there so they can enjoy October 7th and Hamas will take over Canada, because Hamas is coming to America with Biden or the liberal Democrat in a way, and we need to make sure that when they come to America, they will be free people. Remember the congressman in New York, I live in New York or New Jersey, who was invited to the White House. I mean, literally, the Democrat congressman was supposed to go to the White House, but they stopped him at the door. You cannot come in because his name is on the terrorist list. So what did I say then? I repeat again today. Remove the list from America. So the good Muslim congressman and congresswoman and all the jihadi who are going to be in office anyway can have the liberty to go visit the White House. I mean, they're already in the Congress building. Why not go to the White House? All we need to do is get rid of this list. So Canadians ask for it. Muslim America asking for it. And let's give them the West. Give them America, guys, and everything will be just great after that. We'll have a wonderful time with the Muslims, killing our men and raping our wives and our daughters and our granddaughters. And God bless America.
And that is exactly what happened on October 7th that they're praising. That's just disgusting.
Well, long live October 7th. What did they do then? See, the problem is, A, the Canadian people are so stupid, do not know what happened October 7th, or B, the Canadian live under a big rock, which does not help them to understand what happened October 7th, or C, they're just stupid, do not know what happened October 7th because they're living under the big rock. I don't know. Where can we go with that, Paul?
Well, I will say this. Rebel News was, when they saw this happening, they were reporting it. And I don't think this has been reported on any Canadian news station or their news sources, because I tried finding a Canadian news source. The only one who reported it is Rebel News. So they're keeping it silent from Canada.
Because most likely they're going to give them their wishes in Canada. What, you want to remove your name of this list of bad Muslims? You're a good Muslim now. Okay. Long lives October 7th and you're free. Do whatever you want. It's coming to Canada, man. It has to. How in the world do you expect it to come to America without going first to Canada? We're only a few years behind Canada.
Yeah,
that's very scary. The next story comes from France. French court has charged the ex-wife of a top Islamic State ISIS leader with genocide and crimes against humanity for allegedly exploiting a teenage Yazidi girl in Syria. French media reported this on this past Saturday. Sonia, 34, who was an ex-wife of top official Abdel Nasser Ben Youssef, she was charged on March 14th by a parish judge for genocide and crimes against humanity. She's accused of taking part in the genocide of the Yazidi people and enslaving one Yazidi girl who has actually identified her. This French woman, now targeted with the most serious qualification of the penal code, is accused of involvement in martyrdom of the Yazidi community, the non-Muslim Kurdish religious community, methodically persecuted by ISIS. The court suspects her of having enslaved a Yazidi girl, and this Yazidi girl was 16 years old when she was enslaved. She accuses Sonia of rape. She said she has knowledge of her husband also raping her. On her time in Syria, the Yazidi woman said she was not allowed to eat, drink, or shower without informing Sonia.
Mashallah, mashallah. Christy, you and I have talked about that story during Obama's years when the good ISIS were killing the Yazidi and the Christians in a large group and buried them in large holes in the ground. What do you call it?
Mass graves.
And we know they were only killing men.
Yeah.
I mean, we never see them shot one woman. As a matter of fact, then we discovered that they were selling them with price. And the prices depend on the age. The younger, the more money you pay. So a year-old child, it was worth $100. I'm just shooting a number here, but if I remember, we can go back and see what we said there. And then if you are 6 years old, between five and ten, now your price drops to $50. And if you are, 15 years to 25 years, now you're $25. And if you buy two little ones, you can take grandma for free. You see?
Yeah.
After all the Christian and Yazidi were killed, and we're talking about thousands and thousands,
yes.
What happened to the females? They were sold. Sold to who? To other good Muslims.
Yep.
Because even according to the fact of Omar, we as a Christian could not buy a slave in Egypt. Why? Because Muslims know if I buy a slave from a Muslim man, which is another Christian, I will set him free.
Yes.
So they don't give us options. Who bought the females but Muslims? And now we've got one case in Germany and one case in England and one case, and then small cases here, pop, here and there. But in reality, there are thousands of girls sold as slaves. And Muslims will use them as Allah taught them how to use females according to the Quran. And as Muhammad taught them how to use females according to the Hadith and the Sunnah of Muhammad. You know what you do? Men, you rape them. Just rape them. Have sex with them. Whatever your right hand possesses. See, Allah said you can marry two or three or four Muslim females. And if you can't, marry one. And unlimited number of concubines and slaves, unlimited number of Yazidis and Christians and Jewish girls. That is Islam. So she may think she was raped, when in reality, the Muslim man, or anybody who will rape her anyway, man, woman, in that case here, we're actually practicing the word of Allah. They're practicing the Sunnah of Muhammad. Nothing wrong with that. Your American people need to realize that is Islam. And if you do not realize that Islam, it is coming to your daughters and your granddaughters in this country. It is coming here.
You know, Usama, this is what is so tragic when people are not willing to listen to the truth. And they'll say, oh, you're talking so terrible about Muslims. They would never do that. You must be misinformed. You must be misquoting something. You must have a hatred against Muslims. No, these things are what is in their documents, in their Quran, in their beliefs of the Sunnah and Hadith. That is where this stuff comes from. And this is what they believe. And I want you to know, if you're a Christian or if you're a Jewish person, you have, hopefully, a belief in the Bible. And you know what is sad is many Christians and Jews don't know their Bible as well as Muslims do. And Muslims will tell you and quote it and tell you that your book is evil. But Christians know nothing about the Quran. So they don't understand that being a Christian or being Jewish is nothing like being a Muslim. The Quran and with the teachings of Muhammad have nothing to do with anything sacred or holy or good. It's
And what is sick, I did this one time in a meeting and the man said, I'm sorry that you have some hardship with some Muslims, but this has nothing to do with Islam. I said, excuse me, what? It's time for the West. Open the stupid Quran. Study about what your right hand possessed. Highlight these verses and share it with your neighbors so we can all educate ourselves so we can stop the Muslims from deceiving us any longer. Enough is enough.
Chris is holding up the Quran that you translated. I'm holding up The Reliance of the Traveler. People need to buy these books.
Yeah.
All right. Get out there, read these books, read them cover to cover. I actually spoke with a Muslim this past week who said, some things aren't true, that Muslims don't do these things. I says, really? What have you, and he said, it's not in Sharia. And I says, really, what have you read in Sharia? What Sharia law do you follow? Didn't really know. I says, I'll tell you what, pick up this book. It's approved by so-and-so. I was talking about Al-Azhar University's stamp of approval is in there. And you tell me, after reading that, because it does state that it's permissible, all these things I was talking about were permissible in there. You tell me that I'm lying. And I didn't go into it. My deal with him was if he can critically think and he can say what I said is a lie after that, we'll have a problem. Because then he's just outright lying.
And that's approved by Sharia. He can lie to me. But
Actually, he's practicing Sharia when he called you a liar.
But this guy actually had never seen this book, and he actually downloaded it in front of me, and he was all excited to be reading it. So that this will be interesting.
Yeah. Well, I hope you start reading something and come to Christ, because that's what it is. The only reason why Muslims are still Muslims is because they never learned Islam yet. Because they're evil and they know Islam very well. One of the two. See? They're deceivers or they're deceived. If they're deceived, praise God. There's hope for them to come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. If they're deceivers and they know Islam, they're going to burn in hell 100% with Muhammad forever, because they know what they're teaching and what they're living. It's two different things. They teach life and they live in Islam. And their day will come for the judgment and justice will be served by God Almighty. Next story, Paul.
One of the last stories we should do tonight is this story out of Germany, which sadly you almost have to read something like from Hindu Times, but I did find it also in, believe it or not, in MSN. It says, massive protest erupted in Hamburg, Germany, as thousands took to the streets calling for an Islamic state run by a caliph. Over 1,000 people hit the streets of Hamburg calling for an end to the dictatorship values. Muslim protesters were seen carrying signs in support of Sharia and giving loud chants of Allahu Akbar. The protest was reportedly organized by a group calling themselves Muslim Interactive. And they claim on their website it was meant to stand against the demonization of all Islamic life in Germany.
Amazingly. They think that German is dictatorship. And they think Islam and Sharia, Islamic law, will be liberty and freedom. You know how stupid can you be to come up with this conclusion? They don't like Germany because it's dictatorship, which opened its door and opened its land for these wicked Muslims to go there. Imagine that. That is how bad Germany are. Because they allow Muslims to live there, that's how stupid they are. At the same time, they want Sharia. And if Sharia is much better system than the democracy or the freedom the German people have. Is there any logic here? Is there any common sense among these stupid idiots? And why that? Because the German, which by the way, I can guess, maybe 0.5% of the German people, are demonizing Islam. How is the 0.5% of the German people demonizing Islam? I tell you how. Or maybe they're reading a few verses from the Quran, or maybe they're describing Muhammad for who he is according to the written history of the Muslim historians, or maybe just they're telling some truths about Islam. That's demonizing Islam. Maybe I should go to Germany and have some good interview on some of the TV stations there so I can educate the German people about Sharia and what the German are going to be living under when these Muslims have the Sharia, Islamic law, the law of the land. And maybe that's when the German people will round them up and throw them out of Germany. Because that is the only solution. Like the Spain did, after hundreds of years Muslim abusing the Spanish people, I think it's time for the Germans, it's time for the British, it's time for the Irish, it's time for the Swedish, it's time for every country in Europe to get rid of all the Muslims who live in their land. Throw them out. Go to civil war. Lose half of your people and free your country, or you're going to lose the rest of you and Moses will be over. All of it.
We're going to take a break, and as we go towards this next second part where you're going to hear a lot about Prophet Hud, we haven't found him in the Bible. We don't know where he is. We haven't found Ad either, but don't worry, we're going to talk about him. We've got that chapter, and then we'll be covering, Osama will be covering the 12th chapter, which is Yusuf or Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
So come back soon after the commercial break.
All right, then.
For the last 1,400 years, Muslims worldwide have considered only one book to be the perfect, complete, and inspired word of Allah, the Quran. In fact, Muhammad claimed that his only miracle was the Quran itself. But is it a clear miracle of God, or is it just a confusing deception of man?
Over and over, Allah states through his prophet in the Quran that the Quran is a clear book, a very clear revelation, easy to understand. But is this true? Can a Muslim or any reader who read the Quran understand the truth about subject as the creation, the lives of the prophet, or even the life of Jesus?
Scattered throughout the Quran, Muhammad records bits and pieces of information about famous biblical characters such as Adam, Abraham, Moses, David, Jonah, and even Noah. But this information is disconnected and fragmentary, contradicting the Bible and even contradicting itself.
10 years ago, the Lord put on my heart to write a book about exposing the lies and the errors of the Quran. But then we have faced another problem. All current English translations are corrupted. The English translators who translated the Quran to the English language hide many of the errors and the mistakes of the Quran from the English world. Then we spent several years to produce an accurate modern English translation of the Quran. And with that completed, we then began production and have now finished our latest project, exposing the truth about the Quran.
In this powerful new two-volume set, you will discover one of the most thorough and comprehensive critiques of the Quran available in print. First, all of the references to important topics such as creation and the stories of the prophets scattered throughout the Quran are collected together into one place. Next, we examine the writings of the most respected Muslim scholars as they seek to understand these confusing and contradictory passages. Then, we demonstrate that Muslim scholars were forced to abandon the Quran and that they had to turn to the Bible for the true and authentic histories of these events in their futile attempt to reconcile the two. Finally, this comprehensive two-volume set proves that Muhammad contradicted the Bible and that the Quran repeatedly contradicts itself as it discusses these important issues.
It's time for the West to know the truth about Islam, to know the truth about its so-called Prophet Muhammad. The Bible clearly teaches, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We must know and expose the darkness, the dangers, and the deception of Islam. Not only to protect ourselves, but to bring the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the Muslims whom we love.
For ordering and more information, please visit thestraightway.org. Individual copy and case pricing is available.
And welcome back. Glad to have you with us in this great show for this Saturday, May the 4th of the year of our Lord 24, as we will continue with our study to the Book of Hud, which we do not know who is Hud. And after we finish that, we'll move on to chapter 12, as Brother Paul has said before our critic. So, Brother Paul, let's move on to Quran chapter 11, Hud, and this is 69 to 71. 69 to 71.
All right. And indeed, our messengers came to Abraham with good news. They said, peace. He said, peace. So he did not delay, but brought a hanis.
Non-Arabic word, a calf, yeah. A calf.
So when he saw that their hands did not reach out to it, he disliked them and grew fearful of them. They said, do not fear. Surely we are sent to the people of Lot. And his woman. Wife was standing by, so she laughed. So we gave her the good news of Isaac, and after Isaac and Jacob.
You know, when you read the Quran, you have to be A, stupid, so you will not have to worry about what it is, or B, confused person, or B, smart, C, and read the Bible, so you find out how empty that miracle of Muhammad. You have to understand, guys, the Quran is the only miracle Muhammad performed for the Muslim world. Sadly, 87% of the people in the world do not know how to read the sentences of the Quran because, talk about the Muslims, because they cannot read the Arabic language. Now we translate it to English, accurate English. And by the way, if you don't like my translation, read these verses here in any other translation. They're all saying the same thing. What is saying? Nonsense. That is exactly what they're teaching. Nonsense. So let's look at these verses again, Paul. So we can figure out what's going on here. Our messengers came to Abraham. Who are the messengers? Who are they?
He didn't say. There's no detail.
I thought Abraham is a messenger. So why Allah would send a messenger to the messenger? You see, in that story here, I found that Abraham is just a normal guy. He's not a prophet. He's not a messenger. Because you have to understand, every messenger in Islam is a prophet.
That's right.
Every messenger is Islam. Not every prophet is a messenger, but every messenger, there are thousands and thousands of prophets. Only 318 messengers. Okay? So, Allah sent prophets and messengers to Abraham. Who are these messengers? Okay, now, and they sent them what? With good news. What's wrong? Good news. They said, peace. Wait a minute. Is peace the good news? Hey, Christy. Peace. Hey, Paul. Peace. Is that the good? What is the good news? See, Muhammad was
no idea.
Muhammad was copying from the Bible story, which we're going to be reading here in Genesis, and he confused the daylight out of every human who have logical common sense. Because I'm sorry, the messengers did not give Abraham the good news. It was actually one messenger, not the messengers, and that one messenger, his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who talked to Abraham. He is the one who gave the good news to Abraham. This time, next year, you will be a papa. And your wife will be a mama. Which wife? Abraham's wife, Sarah. Show me, where is the good news here? There's no peace. They said peace. He said peace. So he did not delay, and he brought them a meal. He fixed the dinner. In verse 70, so when he saw that their hand did not reach out to it, wait a minute, did it eat? Are you serious, Muhammad? Or are you stupid? Because maybe you forgot to read the Genesis account. Did it not eat? Wow. He disliked it. He hated them? Bad people. I killed the calf. I fixed the food, the bread and the vegetables and the rice and the meat and everything. And they don't eat. Really, they did not eat. Mashallah, mashallah. They did not eat. So he disliked them. And grew fearful of them. Now, he's afraid of them. Wow. Why is he afraid of them? Because he did not eat? That makes sense, man. I'm almost, listen, give me 10 minutes here. I'm going to say the Shahada, and I'm going to join the students at California, and I'm going to go to Iran to have my degree. Okay? I need a degree of stupidity. That's a good degree to get. All right? Let's continue. They said, do not fear. Don't be afraid. Surely we are sent to the people of Lot. Excuse me. Don't be afraid. We're going to wipe out the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. That's wonderful. It's the good news within the talk. And what is the good news, Sister Christy? Peace. Oh, look at me, Paul. Look at me, Paul.
Yes.
Peace. That's a good news. And now, don't be afraid. Why? Because we're going to wipe out 5 cities. Just smile. That's good, man. That's a good news.
Good news.
Okay?
How is that peaceful?
And his woman, his wife, was standing by, so she laughed. I'm sorry. I mean, somebody help me. Abraham is afraid. Abraham hated guests. He fixed the food. He did not eat. And he's afraid. And she is laughing. Why she's laughing? What is so funny? She laughed. So we gave her the good news of Isaac. Because she laughed. Hey, woman, we do not know her name because Muhammad forgot. He does not know her name is Sarah. That's okay. Hey, person, you, woman, here's the good news. What? You're going to have Isaac. And after Isaac, you can have another son by the name Jacob. So now we know, boy or girl, that Sarah will have two babies, Isaac and Jacob. Mashallah, mashallah. Read the Quran, man. And after Isaac, what? Jacob.
Jacob.
Like, if you go to my mother, you see, you're going to have all these boys. She has five boys. You're going to have John, you're going to have Mark, you have Moheb, and you have Amir, and you have Usama. Oh, my mama has five boys. It must be great, man. What a stupid Quran. Even when he mentions the right names, he makes boo-boos in it. He makes boo-boos. Oh, no, you don't understand. Actually, it is after Isaac he will have a son by the name Jacob. That's not what the stupid Quran says.
That's right.
So she laughed and they told her she's going to have a boy and another boy. She said, oh, woe is to me. Will I bear a son when I am old and my husband is old? Surely this is a wonderful thing. Is it woe or is it wonderful? Chrissy, make up your mind. Are you out of your mind? Are you stupid? Woe, wonderful. Woe means it's bad.
Yeah.
Wonderful means it's good. How can you put woe and wonderful in the same breath?
I know how they do it. I think the person who wrote the Quran knew Arabic as a second language and didn't understand the difference.
He did not know the difference. Exactly. All right. Let me give you another message to prove to you my point. Let me give you another message. Do me a favor. Let's go to chapter 51 and verse 29. Chapter 51 and verse 29. Remember, she laughed, Christy. Ha, 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 ha. You're going to have a son. After she laughed, you told her you're going to have a son. Isaac, you're going to have another son.
Jacob.
Okay. Tell me what Allah said here in Quran chapter 51 and verse 29.
So his woman, the wife, came in shouting, and she struck her face, and she said, old barren.
Help me out, Paul. Help me out, man.
Who's getting hit by who?
Go back a little bit earlier. Go back a little bit earlier so people understand the context of the verse.
Oh.
44. Okay.
Has the saying of the honored guest of Abraham come?
Whoa. Honored guest or messengers?
Wait a minute.
Come on, man. Help me out here. Maybe my English is a little bit weak. Messengers means a prophet. So prophet and messenger went to speak to them. Now he calls them honored guests. What happened? I thought they are messengers. I saw they are prophets, man. Okay, honored guests. That's fine. No big deal. 25.
When they entered unto him, so they said, peace.
Peace. Christy, look at me, Christy. Peace. Look at me, Paul. Peace. Okay.
All right. He said, peace, unknown people.
Wait a minute. He did not say there, peace, unknown people. Why Allah changing his word, man? Did Abraham say peace, or did Abraham say peace, unknown people? Which one is the right one? I'm going to be picky tonight. I'm picky. I want to give the right story.
Come on, the Quran. It doesn't make sense.
That's both wrong. We're going to go to the Bible. Yeah. Christy's going to be so excited when she reads the truth in the Word of God. So maybe Christy needs to get her Bible ready and move on to the story of the visitors of Abraham. Now, keep going, man. Go ahead, next verse, man.
So he went to his family. So he brought a fatted calf.
You know what is a family? What is a family, man? Help me out here. You speak English. You're a good man. You have glasses. You're not crazy. Are you crazy?
No.
Can you explain to me what the word family means?
Oh, yeah, mother, a father, kids, yes. Oh, wait, okay. We got a problem here. There's no kids on the scene yet.
Exactly. And is the woman, is the family? Can you see my wife is my family?
Not exactly.
Because we read earlier that he actually, they had the woman of Abraham. Now we got the family of Abraham. Of course. Okay, now let me go. So
he placed it near them.
No.
Said, will you
they
not?
Brought a fat calf. Was it fat Was it fatted or skinny one? How do you know it's fat?
I mean, it's not that fat, bitch.
Go ahead. 27. So?
So he placed it near them. He said, will you not eat?
Wait a minute. Will you not eat? Would this be a common sentence? Somebody came to your house, and you went ahead of yourself, and you fixed a good dinner, and you put it for, please sit down and eat. Not, will you not eat? Why is it, will you not eat? See, the influence of the previous verses we just read, they did not eat, is in the mind of the same person who's writing the Quran. It's like he's put it in a negative way. Will you not eat? No, he said, please, have a dinner. As a matter of fact, when we read the Bible, he said that he asked if he would eat before he fixed anything, and they all ate. The problem is, they all ate, the three. We don't know who is the messengers. We don't know who is the honored guest. Okay, keep going.
So he began to be afraid of them.
He's afraid because he did not eat. Man on man. I never felt any fear when I invited thousands of people to eat and they said, no, thank you. I said, oh, man, I'm afraid. Please, Christy, eat. Oh, you've been in my house many times. Please, Father, eat. I beg.
Is that why you can't
eat? Please, eat. Even a little bit of ice cream, a little bit of ice, please. You have to be stupid, or you have to be stupid to believe in the Quran. Keep going. And
they gave him the good news of a young, knowledgeable boy. What about the boy?
Knowledgeable boy. Here's the good news. So what did Sarah did, the wife or the woman of Mr. Abraham did, when she heard the good news that she would have a boy?
Did she get the good news of having a boy? Because we were a young, knowledgeable boy. We didn't hear anything about her being told she was going to have a boy.
Well, that's okay. She got a boy. And then what she did?
This woman came in shouting, and she struck her face, and she said, old Baron.
Now, here's the question, Christine. Did she laugh before she hears a joke about she's going to have a baby, or did she shout and slap her face? Because they gave her the good news of a young, knowledgeable boy. Which one is the right one, Christy? If she laughs before she hears that she's going to have a boy, it's a comedy. Because normally people hear the joke, and after they like the jokes, you go, that was a funny joke. Imagine with me, you stand up before 10, 20 people, and they all start laughing, and after they finish laughing, he tells a joke.
I know, this is so ridiculous. I mean, it doesn't. I mean, it's just
stupid.
It's sad. It's sad because this is an important. This is an important part of the Bible.
Let me tell you the fabrication given by so-called Muslim scholars. You know what I believe? I believe Muslim scholars are going to go to hell, and they will spend eternity in hell, not because they did not believe in Jesus, not because they did not believe in the Bible, not because they were Muslims, but they're going to go to hell simply because they lied and they lied and they lied to cover every error in the Quran. Had the Muslim scholars stay out of the fabrication they did in the Quran, there will not be one Muslim today in the world. They are worse than Muhammad. Muhammad lied, pretended to be a prophet, and his miracle is the Quran. And Muslim scholars sweetened the Quran so much, make it very scholarly book, that now we have 1.5 billion, more than 1.5 billion Muslims believe in the Quran simply because of these stupid liars who they know 100% they're lying. They cover up for a crime, which makes them criminal, like the one who committed the crime, which his name is Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Listen. The interpreter said, she laughed because they did not reach out with the food to their hand to eat. That is interpretation of Muslim scholars. She fixed the food, she put the food on the table, and they did not reach out with their hand. Christy, if I am in your house, your husband invites me, and me and Brother Paul sitting on your table, and we choose not to eat your food. Do you think you'll be happy laughing, or you'll be as sad and mad?
Oh, well, I would not be happy.
Will you not
laughing.
Consider this, Christy? Will you not consider this insult
yeah,
to you?
Yeah, I would.
Would this make you laugh?
No. It would
God
not make
would,
me laugh.
If
it
I have
me sad.
Friend to my house, and my wife work hard for 4 hours, yeah. 5 hours, fixing a good meal, and my friend will not eat, she'll be mad. My wife will be, she's so mad, I could not even invite another friend for a year or two.
I understand, because this is, doesn't make any sense.
Insult, because
yeah,
it's insult.
Yeah.
But listen. Qatada, he said, she laughed because the people of Lot were unaware that the torment was coming to them.
That's even worse.
Exactly, Christy. If you know that your relative, your son-in-law, and his family, and his people, and he had lots of girls who were married there, are going to be destroyed in the next few hours. Will you laugh or will you cry? What is the normal reaction you do for when you find that some relative of yours are going to be destroyed? Will you just, ha, 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 my nephews and his family are going to be burned to the ground. Ha, 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 ha. Will you do
cry
that?
And pray. You fall to your knees and pray. That's all you can do.
Listen.
You might cry, but you're definitely not going to be.
Listen, the next one, Chris.
Yeah.
Listen, the next one. She laughed because of the fear of Abraham from the three people who visited him. Why he is between all his servants and all the high class of people and all his possessions. So if somebody came to your house and you got scared of him, would this make you laugh at your husband?
I certainly hope not. That's just stupid.
They're stupid.
If your husband is scared in the midst of all that, why would you be laughing at him?
Yeah. I'll be embarrassed of my husband.
Yeah.
And I'll be, honey, why are you afraid of this garbage? Let's throw them out. You got all the servants. And how did they know here that there were three? Paul?
Good question.
How did he know?
He read the Bible.
Oh, well, if you got the number from the Bible, why didn't you get the true story from the Bible, you garbage liars?
Yeah, instead of trying to support this, which is completely a mockery of the story.
The next one here is the funniest one. Ibn Abbas himself. That is the first cousin of Muhammad. Ibn Abbas and what? Two of them said she laughed because she was wondering, how can she have a son when she's old and her husband is also older. But wait a minute. Let's read the verse again, Paul.
I went back to 2. Where? What did you want me to read?
When she left. When she left in Quran chapter 9 and verse 71.
And his woman was standing by, so she laughed. So we gave... So they hadn't even given her the good.
Exactly. You got it, Paul. You got it, man. She could not, Ibn Abbas is the accurate one, but you could not laugh about having a baby when you're old, when you do not know it yet. She laughed before the joke was told.
Yeah.
What a stupid Quran for stupid Muslims who still believe that Muhammad had a miracle. It's called the Holy Quran. Yes, it's holy. It has lots of holes. It will not hold any water. Now, listen to this. They said she laughed, meaning she starts having her period.
Oh my God. That is something only a foolish man. Oh my gosh! No.
The period means she was laughing, and the laughing means she's having the period.
That man does not know anything about women.
Okay. Now, how many people came to visit, and who are they? Are you ready for the great Muslim scholars? Because without them, we'll be lost. We don't have a Bible. We have no idea what happened here.
They're embarrassing good husbands.
Christy, did you get your Bible ready?
Well, my Bible is not ready.
Oh, my world. What are you, an infidel?
I guess. My Bible is downstairs.
I'll have it in just a minute.
Paul will give you the Bible. Now,
yes,
this is this while I'm reading this, Paul can open the Bible and tell you the true Eckhart story. They disagree. Who did disagree? Muslim scholars. Now I know for sure, Christy, that they are scholars. You could not tell me the Muslim scholars are scholars unless they disagree. And since they disagree, mashallah, I know for sure they're scholars. Are you ready for that, Paul?
Yeah, I'm ready. When you tell me which verse, chapter and verse.
Talking about the numbers and whose are they? It is Genesis 16, 17, 18. I'll give you a minute. Anyway, but this is it, Paul. Concentrate with me, please. Concentrate with me.
All right.
They disagree about the number of the messengers. They said there were three. Are you ready? They are Jibreel and Mikael and Israfil, three angels. And Al-Dahak said there were nine. There were nine. See, three? Jump to nine, Christy. Which number do you like? Three or nine, Christy?
Wow. If I'm going to have messengers, I guess I would just pick nine.
Nine. Oh, well, okay. You see, you rush to make, you should wait until I give you the next number.
Oh,
because
what's the next number?
Muqatil says there were actually 12 angels.
Wow, that'd be awesome.
Okay, Muhammad ibn Ka'b al-Qurzi said actually they were Jibreel and he had seven more angels, which means 1 + 7 is how much, Christy? 1 + 7, 8 angels, but Jibreel was there. Al-Sadi, another great Muslim scholar, said there were actually 11 angels. Now, this is the interpretation of the great Muslim scholar Al-Tabari to the Book of Ruth, verses 69-71. Paul, which one do you like? Do you like three, Gabriel, Michael, and Israfil? Or do you like nine? Or you like 12? Or you like 8? Or you like 11? What number is your favorite?
If you have to pick a favorite number, oh my gosh. I'd rather just go with what the Bible says. Forget these imaginary places. These numbers are growing out of that.
Go to chapter 18 in the book of Genesis, beginning from verse 1. 18, beginning from verse 1.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Here we are.
Go ahead, Christy. Go ahead, Christy.
And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre.
Excuse me. What? Who?
The Lord.
That is capital L-O-R-D?
Yes, all capital.
Are you sure?
That's what it says.
Okay. The Lord, God Almighty, that's not the Father because no one can see the Father and live. The Lord Jesus Christ himself appeared to him. That is Abraham. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them...
Wait a minute. It is the Lord and now three men. Oh, is this where the great Muslim scholar found out there were three?
Yeah, they must have picked that up.
Yeah, they must. But they could not pick up the rest of the information. They just picked up the number. And then they contradict the number too. Because we got three, we got nine, we got 11, we got 8, and we got 12. MashaAllah. Go ahead.
And when he saw them, come back, you lost me.
Oh, I thought you were there.
No.
Okay.
That's okay. She's in 12, too.
And, okay, I'm sorry. And ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. So he ran toward them and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight.
Notice he's not speaking to all of them. He's speaking to one. My Lord. Go ahead.
If now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your heart. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said.
Wait a minute. Are they going to eat in his house, in his tent? They agree about it?
Yeah.
They're not going to chicken out later, so he afraid of them? They're not going to eat his food, Christy?
And he's not afraid of them either.
He was not afraid. I understand. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And Nick, Abraham hastened into the tent onto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth.
Here. He's doing a good job to fix the meal. Go ahead.
And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hastened to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat.
As they did eat,
yeah.
Look at the details, Paul. Look at the information, Paul. When you read the Quran, you have no clue. You don't know a jack about what you read. But somehow the Bible is corrupted, man. You see, that book you're reading right now, Christy, is a corrupt book. But the Quran, which contradicts itself. One time she laughed, another time she slapped her priest, and she laughed before she found out, and we found out why she laughed, because she had her period. Why? Now we know. See, there are more details in the Quran than you can imagine. We know that period means laughing. So if you ever, you guys are watching me right now, if your ever wife laughs, you know she got the period. You don't have to ask her, honey, you have a period? Yeah, why? I'm laughing. Every time, if you go to a crowd and people are laughing, they all have period.
Jesus Christ, this is so stupid. Okay.
It is stupid.
Yeah. Okay.
Next verse.
Going on. And they said unto him, where is Sarah, thy wife? And he
wait a minute, do you know her name?
Well, they do.
Muhammad and Allah and Jibreel could not figure out her name is Sister Christy. Mr. Jibreel, peace be upon him, did not know. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, did not know. Allah himself did not know. And this Bible here tells her name. Her name is Sarah?
Yeah, because the Lord knows her name.
Okay, good. At least in the Bible we know her name. Go ahead.
Right.
Not the woman.
Yeah.
Not the woman.
Said,
the woman is very insulting. I got a name. I got identity. But Allah does not want women to have any respect. A woman. Yeah. Family.
And,
my family, yeah.
And he
my
said,
family.
Behold, in the
yeah.
tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him.
Keep going.
And now, I'm sorry. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?
She's a logical Christy. She heard the news. She's going to have a baby. And it is laughable. It is really laughable. Imagine some of your neighbors are in their 50s or their 60s or 70s or 80s or the kids of Sarah 90s and she's going to get pregnant. And I will laugh. She will laugh herself. Everybody will laugh.
Yeah.
But you don't laugh.
Man, hey, she went through menopause. That's not possible.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child, which am old? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Which am old.
Is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And Sarah denied laughing. I laughed not. For she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou did laugh.
So who is afraid? Is it Sarah is afraid or Abraham?
No, it's Sarah, because she laughed.
And why Sarah lied and she was afraid?
Yeah.
Because, see, the logic of the story.
She couldn't understand how that could happen. So.
Let's move on.
Awesome.
One more thing. I don't know if we have time. Let's go to verse 114. I'm going to close with that one. And believe me, that is the last portion of that chapter. 114. 11:114. MashaAllah.
Okay. And perform the prayer at the two edges of the day, at the approach of night. Surely good deeds drive away the evil deeds.
That's it. Surely the good deeds drive away the evil deeds. Do you know what he's talking about here, Christy?
No.
Mr. Paul. Paul, do you know what Allah is talking about here?
I'm still trying to figure out where he got the prayer at the edges of the day, but okay. Good deeds and evil deeds. We don't know what good deeds are that he's talking about. We don't know what evil deeds he's talking about.
Here is the answer. Make it sweet and quick here. At-Tirmidhi told us about a man by the name Abi al-Yasr. He said, a woman came to him to buy from him date. We eat dates, come from the date tree in Egypt. Okay? So he said, in my house is a better date than this date. So he's standing outside the house. He has a cart, and he has dated it, and a woman came to buy from Mr. Abilias today. So he said, you know what? In my house inside, I have a better date. Would you like to come inside so I can give you the better date? So she went with him inside the house. So he told her, sweetheart, give me a hug. Give me a kiss. And she get close to him, and they start kissing. And they start, is it okay? فَقَبَّلْتُهَا. So he kissed her. فَأَتَيْتُ أَبَا بَكْرٍ فَذَكَرْتُ ذَلِكَ لَهُ. So he came to Abu Bakr. See, Abu Bakr, man, the woman came to my house. I wished her myself. And we kissed. فَذَكَرْتُ ذَلِكَ لَهُ. فَقَالَ أُسْتُرْ عَلَى نَفْسَكَ وَتُبْ. He said, cover for yourself and repent. Don't tell this to everybody. Repent to Allah, forget about it. Just give it. Do not, ولا تخبر أحد. Do not tell anyone. So he could not be patient. So he went to Omar, and he told the same story to Omar. So Omar said to him, أستر على نفسك وتخبر. Cover yourself. Don't tell everybody about your sin. Repent to Allah, man. He said, فلم أصبر. So he could not be patient about it. So he went to Muhammad himself, the Prophet. So I told her that. So the Prophet of Allah Muhammad, peace be upon him, wait for a whole hour. For a whole hour. And Allah revealed to him. Pray the two edges of the day and portion of the night. Surely the good deeds take away the evil deeds.
That's what this is supposed to be talking about?
Abu Yusuf said to Muhammad after he read that verse which was given to Muhammad, oh, Prophet of Allah, is this for all the people or just for Abu Yusuf? He said, to all the people. So whenever a man commits adultery with some woman because of him,
wait,
of the sin he will commit.
So it's okay. Adultery is okay as long as you have some good dates around.
Pray, man. Prayer remove the sin of adultery. Prayer remove all kind of sin. Good deeds take away evil deeds. But you see, when you read the Quran, good deeds take away evil deeds, you didn't even know jack about what Muhammad spoke about. And the interpretation here, by the way, by Al-Qurtubi. Al-Qurtubi. Now, how in the world Al-Qurtubi knows that? I mean, I asked you, he said, you don't know. I asked Chris, he said, you don't know. You can ask a million person, he said, I don't know what the verse is talking about. Well, good deeds take away evil deeds. You make a mistake, you do good deeds, you take care of it. No, we're talking about that man, Abi al-Yusr, he had better dates in his house. And she went with him inside his house. And they had good time.
The perversions of these guys, people.
Now, you know what the Bible said in Matthew 5:29? Open the Bible, man. We cannot leave the program with trash like that. We have to open the Bible to clean our mind. Matthew 5:29. Go ahead, Christy.
And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body be cast into hell.
Also, you said, whoever look at a woman with his eye and lust in his heart, he commit adultery. See, in Islam, there is no committing adultery by the lust of the eye. There's no adultery by having sex with a woman the man is lusting with. It's all okay. There's no sin. And don't worry. Yeah. Couple prayers, Brother Paul. Couple prayers. Do some good deeds. Feed some poor person or something. Give clothes to some naked person and all take care of it. Man. All will take care of it. Prayer and fasting will not cover sin. Why? Because the Bible is very clear. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Guys, if we're going to cover our sin by our own work, there was no reason for Jesus to die. There was no reason for Jesus to come to this world. As a matter of fact, everybody can make it happen. I mean, you can steal a couple of times and give lots of money to poor people. You're fine. Commit adultery and extra prayers, that's fine. We can fix ourselves. But the Bible is very clear. The wages of sin is not doing good work, but it's death. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. I mean, which part of without shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin, Muslim could not understand. This is the end of chapter 11. Next podcast will begin chapter 12. And our time is up, Brother Paul.
Now, when we talk about the remission of sins and the requirement of blood to cover the sin, it's the very reason why Muhammad or whoever wrote this book made a huge mistake. They did it intentionally. They left out the sacrificial blood of Christ. They didn't want you to know. They have to insist Jesus didn't die. Why? Because then there would be remission of sins.
Amen. Amen. Our time is up. I want to thank all the people in the chat room, every one of them. Thank you so much for being part of watching this podcast. I hope and I pray that you share this podcast with as many people as you can. And I hope and I pray you join us live, those who are watching this broadcast in a late time as you go to the archive, you watch on YouTube or Facebook or Rumble, or you listen to us on the radio station, Radio Jihad, and whatever you have, join us next Saturday, same time and same place, so we can grow in this ministry, not just a number, in knowledge. And Brother Paul, I know you have a video for us to close our broadcast for today. So if you have any question, here we go. You have the next 10 minutes or so to write your question, and we'll come back after we play the video, the uniqueness of Christianity, and we'll answer all the questions which we'll be facing here in our podcast.
It astounds me that people who are going to buy a new stereo system or a new automobile or a refrigerator will spend a great deal of time reading the magazines, looking into the consumer reports, and selecting the very best one for the money. But when it comes to their eternal souls, they flippantly say, well, everybody has their own belief, you know. One day, a famous preacher in America, Harry Ironside, was preaching on the streets. A passerby interrupted him and said, excuse me, sir, how do you expect an ordinary man like me to figure out the right way? There are thousands of beliefs in the world. Harry Ironside said, sir, thousands of beliefs? I only know of two. Said the man, there's Buddhism and Confucianism and
Hinduism and Islam and all the isms of Christendom. What do you mean only two beliefs? Ironside said, there are those who believe they can save themselves and those who believe they need a savior. All of the religions of the world basically tell you there's something you need to do to save yourself. But the message of Christianity is unique in this, that it proclaims to men and women a savior. There are many people who say, well, the Bible is just another holy book. They're all pretty much the same. Now, people who say that haven't done their homework. What God did for us so that we could authenticate the message of Jesus as he came into the world was, before ever he came, hundreds of years before he came, to paint a portrait in words that would exactly describe him when he did come. One prophet said that he was going to be betrayed, and you would assume that his betrayal would be done by his enemies. No, said another prophet, it would be his friend, his confidant. You would presume that if he was betrayed by the Jews, that he would be executed by stoning. That was the traditional form of execution by the Jews. You remember they did it with Stephen. They tried to do it with Paul. No, says another prophet, they will pierce his hands and his feet. In fact, the description of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, written about 1,000 years before it happened, describes his crucifixion more than 700 years before crucifixion was invented. You would assume that if a man was to be sold for a price, according to Jewish law, a man would be sold for 50 pieces of silver. No, said the scripture, he will be sold for 30 pieces of silver. Now, isn't that an astounding fact? The very people who were trying to disprove his messiahship knew that scripture. And all they had to do to disqualify him from being the Messiah was pay 31 pieces of silver, and he wouldn't have been the Messiah. And they paid 30 pieces of silver and sealed the amount of money in the public record. Where would the Messiah be born? Where would he come from? Matthew quotes, first of all, that Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, Judah. So said Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, perhaps 750, 800 years before the Lord Jesus came, Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, Judah. You arrange the town you're born in. You try to arrange the family you're born to. I suggest it would be a bit tough to do. But you see, that's not the extent of it, because as I pointed out, it was those who did not want him to look like the Messiah who paid the 30 pieces of silver, and who authenticated his messiahship by that. I've given you fulfilled prophecies. There are over 300 of them. Now, my friend, you've got to do something with that. You can ignore it. But if you examine the Word of God, you will discover that unlike any other religion in the world, God has taken your brain seriously. And he has given you hard evidence to believe that Jesus has proven himself to be the Messiah, the Son of God, and declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that gives you evidence in history to authenticate its truthfulness. But there's more. Some people think that if they do good in certain situations, that they will get a credit with God to overcome the bad things they've done. Some people say, well, I think I'm a pretty good person. Listen, you don't even come up to your own standards, let alone God's. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, in other words, by seeking to live a good life and keep the Ten Commandments, live by the golden rule, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Everybody falls short of God's standard. No matter how wicked a sinner you are, no matter how good you think you are, God has made an offer to the human race. To those who find the way barred, because their own sin and failure has kept them from meeting God's standard, there is an alternative. It is the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all those who believe, for all have sinned. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that lets you be honest with God about your sin. You ask someone who's trying to get to heaven by the good works, how are you doing? Oh, not bad. Oh, really? Not bad, huh? Oh, doing pretty good. Doing my best. Well, you are. I've never met anybody who does their best, even by their own standards. God doesn't ask you to pretend you're okay. He wants you to be honest with him. Now listen carefully, and you may not believe me at first, but it's true. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that offers a savior. Islam doesn't offer a savior. Islam says save yourself. It's a do-it-yourself religion. And all the religions of the world fall under the same category. You do it, and if you do it well enough, you'll get to heaven. And as long as you think you can save yourself, any religion will do. But when you find out you need a savior, the list is very short. There's only one, and his name is Jesus. Now, save yourself is an absolutely ludicrous statement. If you're in a burning building, and you're screaming out the window, help, save me, save me, and I'm walking by and I say, ah, save yourself. Listen, if you can save yourself, you don't need to be saved. You can't save yourself. When Christ died on the cross, he paid the debt you owed. And in exchange for your sin, taking your sin, he has offered you his rightness, his righteousness, as a gift, a free exchange. Salvation is not something you earn. Salvation is a gift. Every other religion ultimately says that when you stand before God, you're desperately hoping that he's going to fudge a bit to let you into heaven. There's no follower of any religion that says, when I stand before God someday, I'm going to say to him, okay, God, here's your challenge. Put my life up on this side. Put your law on that side. And I challenge you to find one thing wrong with my life. Is that what people are going to say? No, no. They're hoping against hope that somehow they're going to slip in, maybe in the top 0.5%, you know? Maybe they're going to get in if God won't be too careful at looking at their life. However can I expect to get into heaven? Oh, says God, here's what we'll do. I'll account your debt to my son. He'll pay it in full. So God sets the standard. God hands over the bills, and then he pays it himself. Examine the evidence. Not only the evidence in the Bible, the evidence in your own heart that you're a sinner and you need a savior, and you can't save yourself. And then read what the Bible has to say about the Lord Jesus, the savior of sinners. He came to save you. And if you will, as the Bible declares, be honest with God about your sin. That's what the Bible calls repentance. And receive the Lord Jesus as the Savior of sinners. Say, oh God, I don't know why you'd want me. I'm damaged goods. But you said that whoever came to you, you would in no wise cast out. Take me now. Save me now. I give up. I'll accept the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen and amen to that. Praise be God. Great show tonight. I appreciate you guys to be part of it. Do we have any questions, Brother Paul?
We still have our Blog Talk Radio people on for a couple of minutes. Can we share about Egypt and the Orthodox?
Thank you, Christy, for reminding me. I appreciate that. In Egypt, believe it or not, right now we're about to enter to the Resurrection Sunday. For we celebrate Egypt, the resurrection in Egypt, in different times than here in the West. And we have a little bit problem we have with the Muslims for the last few weeks. They're burning our churches, burning our homes, it is very barbaric. It's very savage, like it used to be in Muhammad days. That's exactly what's happening in Egypt. So my request for all of you, please keep Egypt in your prayers in the next few hours, maybe the next 24 hours. As I was talking to some friends, and I said, hey, we're going to pray for the next 24 hours, and after that, we're in heaven, we're in heaven, because most likely that's where Muslims left to burn our churches and kill our men and kidnap our women to show how beautiful Islam is. So please remember Egypt in your prayer. From now until, Lord's willing, we pass the time of the Resurrection Day, because they believe the Resurrection celebration, the Resurrection Day celebration is an evil work and it must be met with violence.
Yes, and you know, Usama, we've already shared about all of the things that have happened in Egypt just in the last few days because they wanted to have a church. So please pray for Christians that are persecuted there in Egypt, especially during this time of their celebrating the resurrection of Christ. You know, it's a sad thing to think you could go to church and be murdered there or have your home burned, your churches burned. That's the reality that's going on now in Egypt and Christians around the world.
By the way, if it's happening in Egypt today, in this 21st century, it's coming to a church near you. It's coming to a city near you here in America very
yes.
soon.
Thank you, Usama. And I'm going to say
thank
bye
you.
To our Blog Talk people. And thank you for joining me. We had a couple people come into the chat room, and that was great. So thank you for joining
me. That was good.
God bless.
God bless you all. All right, Paul, do you have any questions?
Our first question of the night.